Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Daled Amud Aleph. Just to keep the big picture in mind of what we've done so far, on Daf Bet, we discussed the reason behind the position of Beit Hillel as to why there's a problem with Beitza Shnolda B'Yom Tov. There we had four opinions as to what the issue was. We had the opinion of Rav Nachman because it was laid from a bird that was Asui L'Gadel Beitzim. So the mother, the hen, was Mukse, therefore the egg was Mukse as a derivative. Discussed to you yesterday the reasons why that might be. Then we had the opinion of Rabbah, who said that it's Hachono de Rabbah. It's a problem in a Torah, that the egg was Nigmar on the day before, and you have to prepare from Chol for a Yom like Shabbat and a Yom like Yom Tov. Truthfully, on Shabbat itself and on Yom Tov itself, it would not have been a problem. The only problem is when you have a Yom Tov Achar Shabbat or a Shabbat Achar Yom Tov, when you have 2 days that are Kadosh, that are adjacent, that's where the problem arises. And where goes there, the other days, a regular Shabbat and regular Yom Tov, all to the case where you have that type of adjacency. Then we had Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, who gave the opinions that they were Gzeirot Rabbanan, that were associated with Shabbat, either Shema Yalev Yitlosh, because of fruits that fall off a tree, or Gzeima Shema Ischot, that problem that you might squeeze out the liquids from it because it was leaching liquid beforehand and why you can't use the liquids. It's one of those two gzeirot. So then the Gemara and Dav Gimel worked on why each one of them didn't subscribe to the other's opinion. And then the Gemara presented a problem with the Braita. The Braita here says two things that create an issue. One is that it's safek is asur. When it's a beitza shenolda, this anytime you have a safek, it's considered asur. And number two is, it's not batel be'elef. It's not batel even with 1,000. So the Gemara says, Anichol the Rabbah. According to Rabbah, I can make sense out of this because I have a Chana de Rabbah. Chana de Rabbah says that I have a problem in HaTorah here. If I have a problem in HaTorah, then Safek de Oraita is the Chumrah. So I understand why the Braita says that the Safek is Asur. But according to the other opinions who say the whole problem is a problem de Rabbanan, then why is Safek Asur? So then they suggested that the second half of that Braita was not speaking about a classic case of Safek with this type of egg, which would have been a Safek it was laid on Yom Tov, Safek it was laid on Chol, or Safek it was laid on Shabbat, Safek it was laid on Chol. Rather, the Safek there was a Safek Trefa. Now, if it's Safek it was laid from a mother, from a hen, that was a Trefa, because that would make it into a Trefa, and that's an Iser Doraita. Now you can understand why it's a Safek Doraita L'Chumra. But then we ran into a secondary problem, which is the next line in the Braita. The next line in Braita says, it's Einu Batel Afilu Be'elef. It's not Batel even in 1,000. For Rabbah, we have an easy solution. He has a Doraita problem. And number two is, why isn't it Batel Be'elef? Because it's Davar Sheish Lo Matirin. If you just wait another day, if you wait an additional day, then everything is Mutar. The next day is Chol, and you're allowed to eat that egg on Chol. So just wait. So Davar Sheish Lo Matirin is not Batel Afilu Be'elef. And the Braita all makes sense according to Rabbah. But according to these other opinions, who first of all, the issue of the Beitza on Shabbat and Yom Tov is only Derabbanan, so they have to change what the Braita was speaking about in order to get to a Doraita level problem, which is that they say that it's talking about a Beitza Treifa. So if that's the case, then why isn't it Batel Be'elef? Beitza Treifa doesn't have any materin. It's not a Davar Sheish Lo Matirin. It should be Batel Be'rov. Forget about Elef. It should be Batel Be'rov. So what are we going to do about that? So then the Gemara shifted its position and said, maybe eggs are so significant that they're not batel. And maybe that's the reason they're not batel over here. So the Gemara says, okay, that works well according to the one who says that anything that in general or the majority of the time is enumerated, then that's enough to categorize it as being chashuv and not batel. That's Reish Lakish's opinion. But Rabbi Yochanan, who says that only things that are enumerated all the time, meaning that's their only way that they are sold, then they are chashuv. Then what are you going to do about eggs? We know eggs are not sold all the time by number, by quantity. They're also sold in other ways at some points, and therefore, it wouldn't be chashuv for Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara answers and says, no, the author of the Braita over here is the author of Litra Ketziot. That's what we ended up with yesterday. Litra Ketziot are these pressed figs that are caked together, made into these, almost like a gelled together, solid. They're stacked on top of each other, and you have truma mixed in there. So now you want to know, basically, the truma needs to be nitbatel. Truma needs to be nitbatel, so I need 100 to 1 in order to mevatel the truma. What counts towards the bigger picture over here? When I look at this object, what is included in its sphere so that it is mivatelet. So we had a machloket here between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda as to what the machloket Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua was. Rabbi Meir says that the machloket is, do I look at the stacks as being independent of each other, and therefore even the bases, what's underneath them, can help you be mivatel what's on top? And on top of that, I also have multiple stacks, so I can use all of those to be mivatelet. That's what he says the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, that since we know it's on top, that only if there are 100 tops there, can it be mivatelet. That's the way Rabbi Meir set up the machloket. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says the machloket is, Rabbi Eliezer believes that you need 100 tops there to be mivatelet, and Rabbi Yeshua believes, never batel. It can't be mivatelet because it's too significant. So here is what the Gemara says. He is the author of that braita that says it's not batel be'elef, because he believes anytime you have something that is sometimes enumerated, sometimes is sold by quantity, or has some sort of distinction to it, it's too chashuv to be batel. And that is Rabbi Yeshua's opinion in Rabbi Yehuda. Yeshua's opinion says, afilu b'shlosh mi'ot, deinu batel. Even with 300, it's not batel. It's never batel. This pi, the rim, where you had pressed the figs down, if it was truma, and you didn't know, and it got mixed up, it's never batel because it's too significant. You don't sell it by quantity all the time. Not even the majority of the time. That's this opinion of this Tano, that as long as at some point in time, or occasionally it's sold by quantity, that's enough to make it significant that it's not batel. Now there we're talking about a din derabonon. That's truma of peirot, figs. That is only a din derabonon, and yet he says it's not batel be'elef. So certainly by a case of a beitza, where probably the majority of the time it's sold by quantity, then for sure he would believe that it's chashuv and it's not batel. And that's who we assigned to be the author of the braita to solve our problem as why it's not batel be'elef. So the suffix will be that it was a trefa, suffix trefa del raita, and that's why it's the chumrah. And the secondary thing is that it's a filu be'elef lo batil. That is because this is authored by Rabbi Yeshua, libid Rabbi Yehuda, in the braita of litra kitziot. The braita ended off with a small little thing, which is everybody agrees that if it got mixed in, that it's batel. The Gemara said, what do you mean? We just said there's a machloket. So Rav Papa gave the answer was, no, that's a case where he doesn't know where the pressed figs are. As opposed to knowing that it's on top, it's mixed in everywhere. The Rabbeinu Hanano calls it a sfeik sfeika now, because it's a sfeik, whether it was on top, whether it's in this pile or that pile, and therefore it makes everything that's there part of the unit that can be mevatalit. And there everybody agrees that it can be mevatalit because not knowing where it is makes it insignificant to start with. But beyond that, the fact is that you don't have any sense of top, bottom, and that makes it that everything can be mevatalit. So that's the way we ended. So now that was our one solution for that braita. Now we're going to offer up an alternative solution to that braita as to who's the author of that braita, that afil be'elef lo batil, and that is Ravashi's opinion. That's 14 lines down on Dalet Amud Aleph. Ravashi Amar, the Olam, Safek Yom Tov, Safek Chol. We're going back to the original assumption that the Safek in that braita is whether the egg was laid on Yom Tov or was laid on a weekday. Why is it then that Safek is the Isura? It says, Avidavar Sheishlo Matirim. Because it's a davar sheishlo matirim, v'chol davar sheishlo matirim, afilu midrabanan no batil. Something that has a matirim, even midrabanan, is not batel. So now, what Ravashi suggests over here is that there are two different stages here. First of all, in terms of the elef, the 1,000, why isn't it batel with 1,000? Because it's a davar sheishlo matirim. Since it's a davar sheishlo matirim, you wait one more day, you can eat the egg, no problem. So we tell you, please postpone, wait to eat the egg, and don't be mivatelet. So I understand why it's not batel be'elef, even if it's a din derabanan. Like Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak and possibly Rabbi Nachman explained it, that's only a din derabanan. I understand why it's not batel be'elef. But what does it have to do with the suffik li surah? So that's how Rashi explains it here. The heichi dibi bitula machmirin mehai taima. Just like by bitul, we're machmir and say, even though it's batel min haTorah, wait and just have it the next day. For the same reason, by sefek, we're going to say, just postpone it. Because if you have a choice, again, in these cases, you have a choice of making a decision to wait and do it completely beheter, or you have a choice of invoking a principle that will give you permission to eat it. One of those principles is bitul. So it's batel, so you could eat it. Or the other principle is sefek derabonon lukula. So those are principles of hachra. If I have to make a decision, that's the way that I make a decision. But over here, for a little cost of just waiting one day, I could eat it completely beheter versus using these hachraot to say that it's mutar to eat it. Again, as we noted yesterday, and Rashi mentions it as well, this works well according to those opinions that think that bitul does not mean that the item is gone. Bittul simply means that I have a way of paskening, a way of looking at this mixture. The way I look at this mixture, it's a mixture of heter. That does not mean that the Easter is completely gone. It's just that it's mevatel the tam. And so when you're eating it, we're assuming that you're mevatel the Easter and you can eat it because it has the tam heter in it. But if I have an option or an alternative option, we prefer that you take that option. That's what Rashi's saying here. If you can do it completely the heter versus doing it through bittul, then we prefer that you take that option of heter. According to the other opinions who think that the bittul over here means that it's gone completely like the Rosh, it's a little harder to explain this Gemara of the idea of it's Einu Batel Afil Be'elef, why do you have to wait? The Ran has an interesting, Ran in the Dorim has an interesting explanation where he says that bittul works by contrast. The more contrasting items are, the more chances they are that they're mevatel each other. So that's why he says that min bemino has a hard time being mevatel versus min she'enu mino. Over there, since they're contrasting things, it's much easier for them to be mevatel each other. So he says the same thing over here with regards to davar she'esh lo matirim. Davar she'esh lo matirim is something that will become mutar. So that means that it's a lower form of isur to start with. If that's the case, it's harder for the two items to be mevatel each other because they're less contrasting. So that works well, according to this. It's much more difficult in this Mara now, in the statement that Rav Ashi made, which he says, just like when we say that it's not Batel Be'elef, because it's Davar She'esh Lo Matirin, so too by Safek, we're going to say the same thing. When it's a Safek, we're going to wait in Davar She'esh Lo Matirin. By Safek, there's less reason to say, according to the Ran, that it shouldn't be Mevatalit. Because according to the Ran, the Safek is either this is a full-fledged Isser, or it's not an Easter at all. So according to the Ran, either you have contrasting items, full fudge contrasting items, and they should be about each other, or you have nothing, and they should be mutar. So why you have to wait until it's ahead there is more difficult according to that reasoning of the Ran, as well as that of the Rosh. Just might be a general statement that we say, just if you have that option for very little effort or very little waiting time, it's just better to work with a item when you're completely sure that it's mutar, than to meddle around with Isurim Derabanan. And especially with Isurim Derabanan, because in general the Rabbanan tried to protect Isurim Derabanan and not have people be mezalzel in them. So this is a way to have people take seriously these Isurim Derabanan, even though generally we would pass on the Kula here. But for a little wait till the next day, may as well wait. So it's a more difficult explanation than those other opinions. But that is the conclusion here of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says we're talking about even a Din Derabanan, because it's a Davar She'esh Lo Matirin. Even by Derabbanans, we say that it's not Batel, and therefore it's not Batel Be'elef, and also Safek Derabbanan Kula does not apply here because of the Davar She'esh Lo Matirim. Now, Tanya, Eva Breita, Chayrim Omrim Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Beitza Te'achel, he, Ve'ima. That when it comes to the Beitza, he, Ve'ima can be eaten. But Maya Skinan, what's going on here? What's the case? What's the context of the Breita? Maya Skinan, Ilema Betarna Goloto Medet Achila. If we're talking about a chicken and hen that is designated to be eaten, she thought of he be masharia. What do I need Rabbi Eliezer to tell me that? Of course. There's no reason to believe that it's not mutar. You have the mother who it says not mukse, and now you have an egg that shouldn't be mukse as well. There's uchla d'ifrati. Say, oh, uchla that just split away. Two pieces of uchla that came apart. Ela betarna golot omed the gadol beitzim. So now it's talking about a hen, chicken that is there laying eggs, and its purpose is to lay eggs, so it is mukse. So he ve'ima asura, the egg and the mother are asurim. That's what we saw in our Mishnah according to Beit Hillel. So Amar Reb Zera te'achel agav ima, that it's eaten because of its mother. Mara says hechidami. What do you mean? If you say the mother is mukse, then what does it mean that the egg can be eaten because of the mother? Amar Abaye, Abaye explains kagon shlachastam. He went into the shuk and he bought this chicken without having anything in mind. He wasn't sure if he was going to use it for eggs or he wasn't sure if he was going to use it for meat, for poultry. Nishchata, once he shechs it, huvrara de l'achila omedet. Then the mafreya, retroactively, we know that you purchased it to use for poultry. Lo nishchata, if he doesn't shech it, huvrara de la gadel beitzim omedet. Then, retroactively, we understand that it was the gadel beitzim. So that way, the explanation of the Braita, as Rabbi Lezer says, he, vi'ima, is muteret. It's not in a case where, of course, her mother is not mukse, and then the egg's not mukse. That's too obvious a case. A case where it's the gadel beitzim, then why would the mother be mutar? Even if you want to say the egg should be mutar, the mother itself shouldn't be mutar. She's the gadel beitzim. She's clearly mukse. So there's no reason that he should say he, vi'ima, is muteret. So the only explanation is somewhere where there was a question about the mother. And that's exactly what they set up here. We set up a case where you bought the mother without any defined purpose. As soon as you define the purpose, then retroactively it assigns the shame to the bird. So if you shecht it on Yom Tov, then we know you bought it for meat purposes, for poultry purposes. If you don't shecht it and you lose it for eggs, then we know better for eggs, and that'll impact the egg as well. Now the truth is that if Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara says in other places, Shmutihu, so there the Baba Metzia, the Rishonim are cholek as to what Shmuti means. In one case, Shmuti, they mean that he was put into excommunication because of Tanur Shel Achnai, that case in Baba Metzia, or the other possibility is that he's from Beit Shammai, and that Rabbi Eliezer is a part of Beit Shammai. Well, if Rabbi Eliezer is a part of Beit Shammai, then it makes a lot of sense. Based on Rabbi Nachman's explanation, that the problem here is Gilgadol Beit Zim, and we said Beit Shammai's opinion is that there's no Moksa, then he v'ima muteret is even Gilgadol Beit Zim. That could have been the explanation of Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara does not take up that option, does not offer that option. But you could understand Rabbi Eliezer in that context being according to Beit Shammai. The Gemara doesn't do that is because the Gemara never wants to set up a Tana, Shalok Alocha now. I mean, by definition, if he's going to be like Beit Shammai, we know the Alocha is not like Beit Shammai. So they're going to attempt to create a situation which Rabbi Eliezer is relevant halachically and not like the position of Beit Shammai. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, Rashi points out, the Shmain and the Rabbi Eliezer did lay Muksa. We have a later on, on Daf Lamed Daled, we have a sugya where we see that Rabbi Eliezer has Muksa. Since he has a din of muksa, Rashi says alma hachana bayit. That means that he has to have it prepared, but also precludes what I suggested before, which is that he could be in the opinion of Beit Shammai. So even though it made a lot of sense to send up Rabbi Eliezer in the position of Beit Shammai, the problem is if you think that he holds a muksa, then you have a problem because then there's no muksa here if you think it's the Gadol Beit Zim. So it wouldn't work in the position of Beit Shammai in that way. It might work according to some of the other explanations, but not alone according to that explanation of Rav Nachman. No, but if you had a hen that was laying eggs for weeks, and then you go and shecht it on Yom Tov, that's going to be muksa, it's a problem. That doesn't make it mutter just because you shechted it. It wasn't designated for poultry, you just changed your mind on Yom Tov. That doesn't work. Here's a case where the bird did not have designation, and that's why it works, the fact that you shecht it on Yom Tov. Shecht it on Yom Tov inherently does not make it automatically not muksa. If you come into Yom Tov with a hen that's laying eggs, and that's what it's been doing for weeks, shechting, it's not going to change the fact that it's muksa. It's only the fact that this bird was bought recently, and you haven't assigned or designated yet, that's what allows you that opportunity to make a determination by shechting it. Rav Mari Amar Guzmaktani. Mari says it's all an exaggeration, meaning that the statement of Rabbi Eliezer, when he says, you can eat the egg, you can eat the mother, you can eat everything, it's just a way of expression, as Rashi explains here. We know that maybe the egg is mutar, but he's saying, you know, I want to tell you how mutar this egg is. Not only is the egg mutar, the mother's mutar, everything's mutar. It's used even in modern times when you want to say something, people exaggerate by saying everything, you know, everything under the sun. So that type of expression, that's what he's saying here. Titanio, that we have a breita. Chayrim omri mishum Rabbi Eliezer, beitzat te'achel hi v'ima, ve'afroach uklipato. So here now we have a chayrim quoting Rabbi Eliezer. We have the same statement that he had made before, plus we have an additional statement that efroach v'klipato, a chick with its shell. So now he says you can eat the egg with its mother, and you can eat the chick with its shell. My klipato. What do you mean, this shell? Ilema klipa mamash. If you're talking about a real shell, klipa batach ilohi, since when do people eat eggshells? That's not an edible item. Ela efroach v'klipato. But what? You're talking about a chick inside of its shell. So, Adukan lo pligi rabbonon alei de Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The rabbonon don't argue on Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, elehecha diyotza le'avir ha'olam. That's only when it's already left the shell. Lehecha dolo yotza le'avir ha'olam. If it hasn't left the shell yet, lo pligi. They don't argue. But over here, what's the question? What type of issue is it to eat the chicken, the egg? Ela, efroach v'klipato guzma. Must be that when he says you can eat the chick with the shell, that is an exaggeration. He means you can eat the chick. Forget about the shell. The shell is just thrown in there because he wants to make the point that it's so simple or so obvious that you can eat this chick. You can eat the chick. You can eat the shell along with it. Al-Khanami. So too, the statement of Te'achel, he, v'ima, guzma. Same thing with regards to the egg and the mother. That's also an exaggeration, meaning that it wasn't meant to tell you that they're both mutarim to eat. And it's a case where it's omedet l'achila, and that's why they're both mutarim. Oh, you don't have to tell me about the imam. It's omedet l'achila. Of course it's not mukse. That's an expression to tell you not only is the mother mutar, but the egg is mutar, the egg is mutar, the mother's mutar. Just a way to throw everything in. That's what Rashi says. V'amar milta yitera, you say extra words, extra phrases that are unnecessary. Atol yechel, gamet av, gamet aim, you can eat the mother, the father, you can have everything. So that's an expression that gives you a sense of what is mutar here. It's so mutar, you can eat everything. All right. Itmar, Shabbat v'yom tov. Case where we have adjacency of Shabbat and Yom Tov. Rav Amar, Noda b'zeh, Asura b'zeh. If an egg is laid on one of these, then it's Asura on the next. Rav Yochanan Amar, Noda b'zeh, Muter b'zeh. Rav Yochanan says, if it's laid on one day, it can be eaten the next day. So you have Shabbat and Yom Tov adjacent. It could be Shabbat then Yom Tov, or Yom Tov then Shabbat, doesn't matter. And the egg was laid on the first day. So then on the second day, Rav says you may not eat that egg. And Rav Yochanan says you can't eat the egg. Now we saw before in the position of Rabbi Yehuda, and it's true when you're dealing with Shnei Yomim Yom Tovim Shel Goliot, where you have a Safek. One day is Chol, and one day is Yom Tov. Over there you can say a Mimonav Shach. If the egg was laid on the first day, then you can definitely eat it on the second day. Problem here is that we're not dealing with a Safek. You're dealing with the real din of Kedusha of Shabbat, and a real din of Kedusha of Yom Tov that are adjacent to each other. So just because it was laid on the first day does not mean that it's automatically okay on the second day. So now, what is the explanation for this? Let us suggest that Rav believes that when Shabbat and Yom Tov are adjacent, they become a single day of Kedusha. A single continuous day of Kedusha. Yeah, Shabbat and Yom Tov, they're going to be considered as one unit. And there'll be one unit, meaning if the sun rises on Shabbat morning, and it sets on Sunday night on Yom Tov, and it's almost one day. Obviously, it's not one day, but from a halachic standpoint, the view of the day will be that it's a single entity, and therefore something's problematic on Shabbat, it's also problematic on Yom Tov, because it doesn't get freed up just because you changed days over here. Same thing the other way around, of Yom Tov going to Shabbat. The Gemara's Havamina is going to be rejected, but it's interesting on a number of levels. Number one is the fact that the Gemara even suggests Yom Tov and Shabbat collectively be a single Kedusha, even though we know that Shabbat and Yom Tov are distinct. We know that the Isser Malacha is different, as we explained in the introduction. The nature of the Kedusha of Shabbat and Yom Tov are different. The fact that Rav puts them together tells you how closely related Shabbat and Yom Tov are. That idea that Shabbat is the paradigmatic type of Yom Tov, and that Yom Tov is like a derivative, or we look at Shabbat for determining what Yom Tov is, this tells you how closely related they are, that we're willing even to say that Kedusha Achat, according to Rav. And that's why there's a problem here. That's the Gemara's suggestion. The Gemara rejects it and says, V'amarav, halocha ka'arba'a zkenim, ve'alibo de Rabbi Eliezer, din Rav paskin like the four zkenim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, demar shtei kedushotein. There are two different levels of kedushot. They're two different yamim, equivalent of shtei yamim tovim shel galiot, not exactly in that way, but they're different days. So something that happens on Shabbat, you've now entered a new day when you enter into Yom Tov. Just because it's a surah on Shabbat doesn't mean it's automatically going to be a surah on Yom Tov. Because it's a surah on Yom Tov, it's not automatically that it will be a surah on Shabbat. Tosafot asked a question from a Gemara in Sukkah that we just saw recently, which is, coming into the tail end of Sukkot, we said that the Sukkah is muksa on Shmini Atzeret. Why is it that they are problematic on the next day? Because if you needed to do a Benesh Mashot, you'd have to sit in the Sukkah. She says, why don't we say the same thing here? If it's a surah on the first day, the Benesh Mashot, it's a surah, and that should influence the next day, and it should be a surah as well on Yom Tov, just because Benesh Mashot was a surah. The muksa is determined at the point of entry into the day. It's what was the status of this object coming into the day. You can change on Shabbat itself, or on Yom Tov itself, it can change to the negative side, meaning turn into muksa on Shabbat and Yom Tov, but it can't turn into heter on that day. If something was muksa benesh mashot, it's muksa migo did katze the benesh mashot, did katze the kuleyomav. It's muksa benesh mashot, it's muksa all day. So Tosfot says over here, why don't you just say it was muksa on Shabbat? It's automatically muksa on Yom Tov, because benesh mashot is muksa, because it was muksa for the day before. So Tosfot makes an important point. He makes the same point in Sukkah as well, is that just because something's asur the day before doesn't impact the next day. Just because it was asur on Shabbat, that doesn't mean that benesh mashot is asur and then it affects the next day. It has to be a sur benesh mashot because it's a sur benesh mashot, not because it was a sur the previous day. So he says, oh, what about sukkah? Sukkah is that classic case. Sukkah is, the reason you have to eat in sukkah is on the seventh day you have to eat in the sukkah. The eighth day, you don't have to eat in the sukkah. Benesh mashot, you would have to eat in the sukkah. So it's a sur because of the previous day, basically. So Tosfot distinguishes between two types of muksa, and he says, Ishlamar, the muksa machmat mitzvah shiny. The muksa that derives from a mitzvah is different. Over there it has a greater impact because you would actually have to eat in the sukkah, benesh mashot, if you wanted to eat. And therefore, sukkah has relevance, benesh mashot. On the other hand, when you have muksa that derives, like muksa machmat isur, which we're talking about over here, that muksa derives from the fact that it was usur on the previous day. The reason it's muksa benesh mashov is only because of the previous day. In benesh mashov, the muksa has nothing to do with benesh mashov per se, it has to do with the previous day. And so because of that, Tosfot separates between those two different types of muksa as to their impact benesh mashot. So it's machmat isur, that just because it was asur the previous day does not automatically mean it'll be asur the next day, even though it's asur benesh mashot. Whereas by a mitzvah, where you'd have to perform the mitzvah benesh mashot, that's enough to make it asur on the subsequent day and make it muksa for the subsequent day. Anyway, the Gemara has rejected it now and says that in a case of Shabbat, next day Yom Tov is shtek dushot, and just because it was muksa on the first day doesn't mean it will be muksa on the second day. They're arguing in Achana Deraba. Rab Itlei Achana Deraba, Rabbi Yochanan Leitlei Achana Deraba. Simple machlokin about Achana Deraba. Now, that is not so simple over here. Why? When was the egg laid? Egg was laid on Shabbat. Now, what did Rabbah say before? Rabbah said before that an egg laid on Shabbat would be completely fine. Because an egg laid on Shabbat, when was it finished? On Friday. Well, it was finished on Friday, then Hachana was done on a weekday. Why can't I eat the egg on Shabbat? Only because of Gzeirah. Gzeirah led to a case where Friday was a Yom Tov. But over here, Friday wasn't a Yom Tov. So now, when I move to the next day of Yom Tov, why can't I eat this egg? It wasn't prepared on Shabbat. It was prepared on a chol. And it's a Yom Tov now. So why should I be able to eat it? The egg wasn't laid on Yom Tov. The egg was laid on Shabbat the day before. So why shouldn't it be completely mutar on Yom Tov, even according to Rabbah? It was done and finished on Friday. Shabbat, okay, Gzeirah. But Yom Tov, the day after, the egg was born on the previous day, and it was Hachana, was already done on Friday. It should be completely fine. Tosafot over here brings up a chiddush, and he says, Yeshu Gemar, Mikom Akom, Kishenolda b'Shabbat, when the egg is laid on Shabbat, Herzu Hachana. That's also Hachana. Degam b'Shat Leida Shayich Hachana. There is a concept of Hachana even at the time of laying, not just beforehand. It's not so simple that Tosafot says that, because Rabbah believes if the egg was laid on Shabbat, it would be completely mutar. And he doesn't think that that's Hachana for Shabbat on Shabbat itself, because the Gemara was before. But here he's suggesting that even in the laying of the egg, there's also somewhat of a preparation being done, and therefore there was preparation on Shabbat towards Yom Tov, or from Yom Tov towards Shabbat, and that is problematic. And that's why you cannot eat this egg on the second day, even though it was completed on Friday, the day before, on Erev Shabbat, or on Erev Yom Tov. Nevertheless, you can't eat it on the subsequent day because it was laid on a day of Shabbat or Yom Tov, and that's part of the Hachana process, and therefore you can't eat it the subsequent day. Not according to Rabbah. Rabbah says that Yom Tov is not Mechin the Shabbat. The only reason that Rabbah allows it is because of a principle called Hoil, which we'll get to later in the Masechta, because the principle of Hoil, which is Hoil Mikle Orchim. You're allowed to cook more for Yom Tov and then use it for Shabbat. But here, if you're specifically using it for the next day, then that's not, you didn't use it for Yom Tov, you didn't have it for Yom Tov and then use it for Shabbat. Again, if Hoil Mikle Orchim, that would be okay if Yom Tov going to Shabbat. But that's not the case here. Plus, the case here is also Shabbat and then Yom Tov. So in that case, for sure, you don't have that heter to prepare from Shabbat to Yom Tov. Right, so Gemara says, Kitanae. This is Machloket Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, slimmer to a Machloket Tanaim that we have. Noda b'Shabbat, te'achel b'Yom Tov. B'Yom Tov, te'achel b'Shabbat. That's like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Adayin hi Machloket. It's still Machloket, Shabbat Shabbat Omerim, te'achel. Like in our Mishnah, Beit Shammai says, Mutar. Beit Hillel Omerim, lo te'achel. It's, you cannot eat it. So we see here, even in a case where you have adjacency between Shabbat and Yom Tov, Beit Hillel still says, lo, teyachel, similar to Rav's opinion. Ishpuzichnei derav adar barava, so his bed and breakfast is host, havulei hanach beitzim mi Yom Tov v'Shabbat. He had a case like this. We had eggs that were laid on Yom Tov going into Shabbat. Ata dekamei, he brought them before Rav adar barava, amalei, mai lutvinhu haidna, can I roast them today? And then we'll eat them tomorrow. I'll roast them today, and we'll eat them tomorrow. Roast them today because it's Yom Tov, and I'm allowed to roast today. And we'll eat them tomorrow on Shabbat, because then they won't be asur. So Amar Lei, Ma Datich. What are you thinking here? The assumption being that it's not muksa today, therefore you can eat it tomorrow. So Ma Datich, Rav Rabbi Yochanan, Alocha Rabbi Yochanan. What are you thinking? That the machloket here is Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. In general, the principle is that when you have a machloket Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, Alocha Rabbi Yochanan. So now, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, so now the next day is not muksa, and you can eat it on Shabbat. But even Rabbi Yochanan agreed, the first day was problematic. Rav says you can't eat it either day. Rabbi Yochanan says you can eat it on the second day. He doesn't say you can eat it on the first day. That means that it's muksa for the first day. How are you going to roast the eggs on Yom Tov if they're muksa? You can't roast them to get them ready for Shabbat because they're muksa on that day. And that's what he says here. So afilo Rabbi Yochanan de Shabbat, lo kashari elo legoma, b'machar. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't permit you to cook it today, roast it today, and then eat it tomorrow. All he says is you can take it down raw the next day on Shabbat, but you can't cook it, you can't do anything. It's not muksa, but you can't cook it. So the only thing is you can drink it raw. You can take it down. On the day that it's laid, he agrees that it's problematic. Even if you think the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, that won't help you in this situation because you want to do the preparations on the first day, the day it was laid. That even Rabbi Yochanan agrees is problematic. It's muksa on that day. Only thing that Rabbi Yochanan permitted was the next day for you to utilize it. If it's Shabbat, you can take it raw. If it's Yom Tov, then you can do whatever you want. You can cook it, you can roast it, you can do whatever you want with it the next day. But Hatanya, and Hatanya here is Vinyuchuta, a brayta that supports that understanding. Chad beitzah shenolda b'Shabbat, v'chad beitzah shenolda b'Yom Tov, ein mitaltelin ota. You can't carry it around, meaning it's muksa. Lo lochasot b'et a kli, even to cover a kli. Lo lismoch b'karei amita, or even to support the bedposts. So you see that when it's laid on that day of Shabbat, that day of Yom Tov, everybody agrees it's muksa on that day and it cannot be utilized. Ushpizichne de Rav Papa. So here now we have the host of Rav Papa, the bed and breakfast where he stayed. Ramila, how gavro de atal kamei Rav Papa. Some say it was a halachic shiloh that was brought by an individual before Rav Papa. How le hanach beitzimi Shabbat to Yom Tov. Again, it's a classic case, Shabbat to Yom Tov, atal kamei. You came before him, amalu, ma'u lemichlinu lemachar. Can I eat them tomorrow? So he was looking to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, that the first day they were asur, but the next day they'd be mutarim. Unlike the previous case with Rabbi Adar Ba'ava, where even according to Rabbi Yochanan would be problematic, here, this would be okay according to Rabbi Yochanan. The first day problematic, second day okay. He says, come back tomorrow and I'll tell you. Go away today, come back tomorrow. Rav would not put up an amora. Now an amora, again in their days, is the equivalent of a megaphone. It was a way that the Amora darshan in public, he translated, if it was necessary to be translated into the Aramaic. He also raised his voice and he presented whatever Rav was saying, he presented it to the people. Again, it's in a situation, very hierarchical society, where, you know, the Rav or the lecturer sat up there, he whispered into it, and then his megaphone went out and gave the shir on behalf of the Rav. And we saw before cases like in Yoma where somebody changed what the individual had said. After he had whispered him something, he changed what he had said based on what he thought should be. So now he would not, after he finished eating on the first day of Yom Tov, he would not get up there and put up an amora to speak, mishum shichrut, because he's afraid of drunkenness, which is that he would drink. It was Yom Tov, you have yayin. And after having yayin, he's not ra'ui to give psak halacha. And when he used to give a shir and a drasha, he would give psak halacha and the drasha. So after he ate on Yom Tov, he wouldn't do that because shtuya yayin, or those that are shikure yayin, are not allowed to give psak halacha. We learn out of Parshat Shmini that there it says, juxtaposed to the restriction against drinking wine for the Kohanim, it says lahorot, to give psak or give instruction. So from there we learn that you're not allowed to give psak when you are drunk. So Rav would not do that after he ate his meal on Yom Tov until the next morning, until the next day of Yom Tov. So too over here. Rav Papa said the same thing. He had already eaten his meal on Shabbat, and he wasn't willing to give psak halacha to this individual until the next day, once his head was clear. The individual came back to him the next day, whether it's his bala bayit or whether it's this seeker of halachic advice. It's a good thing that I told you to come now. Because if I had given you the psak yesterday, had I given it to you when you came in the first place, ishtalai, I would have made a mistake. Rabbi Yochanan, halachik Rabbi Yochanan. That whenever you have a machlok between Rabbi Yochanan, halachik Rabbi Yochanan, and I would have said mutar. Ha, Amarova, but that's not true, because Amarova, hilchot kavote de Rav behind a tlat. The halacha is like Rav in these three situations. Ben the kula, ben the chumra. Doesn't matter if Rav's opinion is the chumra, the kula. These three situations, the halacha is like Rav. Those three situations are statements of Rav that we're going to see. One of those statements is that when you have Shabbat adjacent to Yom Tov, that asura b'zeh, asura b'zeh. Whatever is asura on one day is also asura on the next day, and therefore the eggs are asurim on both days, and the locha is like Rav. And then Rav Papa said, now that my head is clear, I gave you the right psak locha, that the locha is like Rav, because now I remembered Rav's statement that the locha is like Rav in these three cases. One of them is Shabbat v'Yom Tov. The next one we're going to see is Shnei Yamin Tovim Shel Galuyot, which is the Kula, where he says that it's a safek of Chol and Yom Tov, and therefore we go to Kula there. And the third one is the Shnei Yomim Tovim El Rosh Hashanah, where he is the Chumrah, which is the Yom HaRichta. So you have three cases. You have Shabbat, Yom Tov, Yom Tov and Yom Tov, and then Yom HaShoshana. We'll do two of them today. We just did Shabbat and Yom Tov. We'll do Shnei Yomim Tovim Shagoliot, and then we'll leave Rosh Hashanah for tomorrow. So now, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. It seems Shnashru Min HaDekel B'Shabbat. You have this beautiful palm tree hanging over your stove, your oven on Shabbat, and some of the branches fell from the tree, or leaves fell from the tree, and they ended up inside of the oven. Now, those items were clearly muksa beforehand. They were problematic beforehand. Now, asur le'sikam b'yom tov. So then, you did not use them on Yom Tov. V'al tishiveni, and don't answer me, this is Rabbi Yochanan, remember. Rabbi Yochanan said before, if you lay an egg on Shabbat, then on Yom Tov it's mutar. So why don't I say the same thing? I understand why on Shabbat it's problematic, because first of all, on Shabbat you can't cook. But besides that problem, even when the branches fell off, they were muksa on Shabbat. So now, when it comes to Yom Tov, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Shita Tov, it should have been mutar to utilize it on Yom Tov. Why is he saying asur? So he himself is saying, Al tishiveni beitza, my time of beitza, mishum debiyoma, nami chazia legoma. The reason by a beitza is because even on Shabbat itself, when the egg is laid, you could have done something with it. What could you have done with an egg on Shabbat? You can't cook an egg. You can't roast an egg on Shabbat. You could take it down raw. It is edible on Shabbat. Why can't you utilize it on Shabbat? Mishum muksa. So then when I move over to the next day, what's the reason that it's mutar? It's because I've taken away the problem of muksa. That's what he says here. And we don't allow you to eat it the next day. People will know the reason you couldn't have the egg yesterday was because of muksa. But then, when it comes to the next day, they know. They look, I could have had it on Shabbat. The reason I didn't have it is because there was an Easter muksa, an Easter of Achana, and that's why I didn't have it today. But the next day I have it. But, by Eitzim, Delo Chazul Yomayu, when the Eitzim fall out on Shabbat, you can't do anything with the wood on Shabbat. You can't cook. You can't make a fire on Shabbat. So why are the Eitzim Asur? Two possibilities. One is that they're muksa, because they came off the tree, or because you couldn't use them on Shabbat. So what's a person going to think? Ishar lehu machar. If I tell him on Yom Tov, use them, at the meimar, beyomayu namisharu. On Shabbat, they would have been mutar as well. Ve'etmo mishum Shabbatu delo chazil azaka. Why didn't we use them yesterday? Not because they were muksa, but because it was Shabbat. So that's the problem. Since it's not clear what the Easter is by the wood, the stuff that came off the trees, two possibilities is the problem. One is muksa, the other possibility is just Shabbat. That's why I can't use it. There's no reason to use them on Shabbat. Now on Yom Tov, I come, I tell the person, go ahead, you can use them now, because asura bezeh is mutar bezeh, so you should be able to use them on Yom Tov. So the person goes and uses them on Yom Tov, and he'll say, you know what? Even if it fell on Yom Tov, I'd be able to use it. If it fell on that day, I'd be able to use it. Why couldn't I use it yesterday? It was Shabbat. That's the only reason they said don't use it. He's not going to think muksa, he's going to think Shabbat. And therefore he won't understand that on the day itself, it is asur. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan says, even according to my own opinion, I'm differentiating between a beitza where it's clear that the problem was muksa and not Shabbat, versus the wood where it's not clear. And the wood was problematic either because of Shabbat and Muksa. There it's not clear. I'm not going to let you use it the next day because you'll come to the wrong conclusion. You'll think that even if it fell on that day, you could use it. We don't want that conclusion to come about. Amar of Matna. It seem shenashru min adeka l'tocha tanur b'yom tov. So now instead of being on Shabbat, it happens on Yom Tov. Marbe aleyem etzim muchanim u'mesikan. So what are you going to do? You have a problem. Now you have Muksa, which we just said even everybody agrees that if it falls on that day, it's problematic. So now, if I continue to cook with it, or I stoke it, I'm going to be moving muksa. So what do? Put in a lot more wood, that's what I had there, not muksa wood, and everything will be great. It says, aren't you stoking it and flipping the wood around? You're moving the muksa. It says, since the rove is heter, then when you're stoking it or moving around, you're mahapik the heter. He added heter wood, so we know that it's the rove here. This sounds more along the lines, those that believe that bittul changes the reality. Because over here he says, after it's batel, he's mahapik v'hetera, you're moving around heter. There's no Easter left in here. According to the way those opinions like the Rashba and Rashi say that there is Easter, it's just batel, the Easter is still there. You could argue, according to them, that since the rove is heter, we're going to assume whatever you're stoking is probably heter, and that's why it's mutar. You could phrase it that way. Now, Gemara says a very basic question, problematic that came up here is, v'hakam avatal isur lechatchilo. Wait a minute. When it comes to bittul, bittul is always a position of bidiavad. If something happened, then we look at it and say, is it batel or not batel? What we don't allow you to do is make something batel lechatchilo, which is, okay, whoops, some milk dropped into my chicken soup. Doesn't have 60 to 1. I'll pour more soup in there, and now I'll be fine. We don't allow you to do that. That's the chatchila. Bittul only works after the fact. It's a bidyavad situation. Over here, we're telling him, oh yeah, the wood fell in there, dump a bunch more heter on there, and everything will be mutar. Well, since where we never heard of such a thing. Where it says, hani mili bidoraita. That's only true when we're dealing with Torah Yisurim. Aval bidarabonon mivatlin. When it comes to dinik darabonon, we are mivatel lechatchila. Wait a minute, Tosfot says, whoa. Is that really true? We find plenty of times derabonon that we don't allow you to be mevatel lechatchila. An example, he gives us chatzi zayit of chelev, chatzi isur, which went in Yoma, Machlok Veshlag, Rabbi Yochanan, about whether chatzi shiur is asur mina Torah, and we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, chatzi shiur is asur mina Torah. So now, if you think chatzi isur is only a problem mi de rabbanon, then why can't you go ahead and be mevatel lechatchila? So Tosfos makes a distinction in Drabonons. It's a very important chakira, which is that Drabonons come in two forms. There are Drabonons that are an extension of a Doraita, and there are Drabonons that are new creations. They're not premised on anything Doraita. They're there to protect Dinim Doraita, but they themselves have no basis in the Torah. So if it's over here, by Chatzi Zayit of Chelev, there is an Iker Isur Min HaTorah of Chelev. So now the Torah says that only starts at a Kazayit. The Chachamim extended it and said even less than a Kazayit, so then it's also problematic. That's one type of Isur Drabanan. There's another type of Isur Drabanan like Muksah. Muksah is not found in the Torah anywhere. There's no din. Muksah is a complete invention of the Rabbanan. Now, it was done. It's a good question as to why. That we'll see later on. It's Machloket HaRishonim as to why Muksah. Is it to prevent carrying on Shabbat and Yom Tov so people don't forget? And go out and carry things into the Reshut Rabim. That's one possibility. Or is it to prevent people engaging with Isurim? Because most of the Muksa involves things that are Asur. And therefore, we don't want you engaging with Kelim or things that are Asur. And so how do we do that, prevent that? We make it Muksa. Or the Rambam brings an interesting explanation. He says it's for those people who are not doing anything all week anyway. If they're not doing Melacha during the week, then how is Shabbat distinguished from the rest of the week? So Muksa makes it that there's a differentiation on Shabbat that makes it different than a regular weekday for these people who are not working anyway. So we have different explanations as to why Muksa came about, but it's clearly an invention, Derabanan, that has no basis in the Torah. So because of that, he says it's different. Where we say you're mevatel isur lechatchila by Derabanan, that's when you're talking about an independent takanat or gzera Derabanan. When you're talking about a Derabanan as an extension of a Doraita, then it has the same rules as a Doraita, because the Rabbanon came to write the tikkun, and you cannot be mevatel lechatchila. And that's how Tosfos distinguishes. It doesn't say this is a blanket heter to be mevatel all these surim derabanan. Right? So for instance, like maybe chicken. You have a chicken soup, and the milk falls into it. That's an isur derabanan. Chicken and milk are only problematic mi derabanan, not problematic mi deoraita. But because it's an extension of the isur basar and halav, there, maybe we won't say that you can be mevatel lechatchila, you need to have 60 to 1 beforehand. Whereas here, where you have an independent halacha, we will say mevatel isur lechatchila. All right, so now, Rav Ashi damar kol davar sheyesh lo matirim, afilu b'derabanan lo batil. Wait, Rav Ashi just said before that if you have dor shelesh mevatinim, even in dinei derabanan, it's not mutar, you have to wait. So before we had two opinions. We had the opinion that something that is davar sheyesh lo matirim b'doraita, that's not batel. That was our original assumption. Rav Ashi gave another alternative explanation of the Braita and said, even the Rabbanans, we say that davar sheyesh lo matirim is not batel. And that's how he explained the Braita. And he said, it's talking about an egg that's safek muksa. And even though it's muksa derabanan, why isn't it batel? Because it's davar sheyesh lo matirim. So Rav Ashi says, even in the Rabbanans, davar sheyesh lo matirim is not batel. So Ma'ika the Meimar, what are you going to do here? This wood, what's the case? It fell on Yom Tov. If you wait till tomorrow, the wood is completely mutar. So why am I going to be mevatel this chatchila? You can't be mevatel it according to Rav Ashi because it's something davar sheyesh lo matirin. So it's not going to help you. As much wood as you put in there, it's not going to help you. So hani mili heichad de itali isur be'enei. That's only true when the isur exists. It's physically there. Hacham mikle kol isura. Here, the isur disappears. So there's a difference. Rav Ashi believes that we don't say bitol when the isur is still extant. When the isur is still extant, then we say, okay, it's davar sheyesh lo matirin, wait until tomorrow. But here, where the isur is going to disappear, as the Rabbeinu Chanan says, kvar nisrafu, ufikach bat le'mishari, the meifa b'tanur, and therefore it's batel. Even Rav Ashi will agree, davar sheyesh lo matirin has no relevance here because the isur was consumed already. It's gone. So then to say that it's not batel be'alef, forget about it. You put enough heter in there, it's fine, even according to Rav Ashi, even because there's davar sheyesh matirin, because it's not in existence. Again, this goes back to what we spoke about before. When we talk about bitl, is the iser still there? According to the Gemara, this is again support of those opinions like Rashi and the Rashbo that believe that the iser is there, it's just batel. That's the achra, that it's batel. But the iser is still there. And that's what it seems like from the Gemara over here. The iser is still there. But when it's mikla koli, when it gets consumed and the iser isn't there, then there is a different din, and it's as if it's gone. And therefore will be mekil, even according to Rav Ashi, to be mevatel it. Now we go next case. This is the second case of Rav, where we said Allah is Rav. Itmar. Shnei yamim tovim shel galiyot. The 2 days of Yom Tov that they do in Chutz Laretz. Rav Amar Nodav Zeh Mutaret Bezeh. If it's late on one day, it's Mutar on the other day. That we spoke about in the past, because it's Safek Chol, Safek Yom Tov. One day is Yom Tov, and one day is Chol. Not both of them are Yom Tov. So Mimonov Shach, you're okay on the second day. Because if it's late on the first day, if it's Yom Tov and you can't have it that day, but the next day is Chol, and it doesn't matter. Or, if the first day was Chol, and the second day is Yom Tov, that's fine, because it was finished, done on Chol, and it's ready for Yom Tov. So by the second day, you're totally Mutar, according to Rav. Vasi Amar Nodav Zeh Asura Bezeh. Vasi says, no, if you had an egg late on the first day, it's Asura on the second day. So Leima Kasavar Vasi Kedusha Achati. Let's assume again that Vasi believes that it's Kedusha Achat. Otherwise, how does he explain this problem of coming from one day to the next? Mar says, Vah Rav Asi Mavdil Mi Yom Tov L'Chavrei. Then Rav Asi used to make Havdolah between Yom Tov Rishon and Yom Tov Sheni. Because there's a real suffix in that if the first day is Yom Tov, then you should make Abdullah immediately after that day, not after the second day. Why are you waiting to make Abdullah? Now, with Shabbat, at least you can make a claim that the Shabbat has influence on the subsequent days. So therefore, you can make Abdullah on Sunday, or maybe even according to some beings until Tuesday. But by Yom Tov, you don't have that. By Yom Tov, you can't say, oh, the Yom Tov continues, and therefore it can be Ma'abdil afterwards. Either you're Ma'abdil when Yom Tov's over, or you're not Ma'abdil. So if the first day is Yom Tov, then he's Mavdil. So you see that he clearly doesn't believe they're Kedusha Achat, because he was making Abdullah between the 2 days of Yom Tov. So Rav Asi, Spuke Misvakile, he had some doubt as to what the status was. V'avi Hocha L'chumra, V'Hocha L'chumra, and he's L'chumra in both cases. He's not sure that they are Sveika D'Yoma, meaning it's Yom Tov and Chol, and therefore he should make Abdullah after the first day, in case the first day was Yom Tov. Or is it Kedusha Achat, and therefore he is asur, the egg is asur on both days, because maybe it's one big long day. Am Rabbi Zera kavatid Rav Asi mistavro. According to Rav Asi's opinion, makes sense. Da'idna, today, yadina mikviya diarcha, we know when the real day of Yom Tov is, gavdina and trey yome, and we still do 2 days of Yom Tov. Why are we doing 2 days of Yom Tov if we know exactly what day is the first day of Yom Tov? So what his proof is, or what Rabbi Zera is trying to present here, is that it must be that it was a takanat chachamim. When they kept 2 days of Yom Tov, why did they keep 2 days of Yom Tov originally? In the Gula, why did they keep? There's two possibilities. One is that it's a Sveika D'Yoma. They really had a doubt. They didn't know which day it was, and so they gave it Misafek. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that the Chamim were mitakin, that anybody in the Gula has to keep 2 days. And that the Takana stands whether you know or you don't know, you always have to keep 2 days. The difference between them being that if they only kept it Misafek, then post that time, if you know, you wouldn't have to keep 2 days, because it's all about knowledge. If you have the knowledge, you won't have to keep it. On the other hand, if you believe that they kept the 2 days, even in Chutz Laretz, no matter what, that means that it's a Takanat Chachamim, that Chutz Laretz always keeps 2 days. And that means that it has nothing to do with the Safek. And even when you know, you still have to keep 2 days. And so that's what Rabbi Zera says. The fact that we know when the calendar date is, and we still keep 2 days, that shows that it must have been a Takanat Chachamim and not about the Safek. Because we have the information, and we're still keeping 2 days. So Amar Abaye kavati de Rav mistava. You're wrong. No, makes more sense according to Rav. Why? That's none. Barishona yom misi'im masu'ot. They used to originally put up torches and fires in order to indicate when Rosh Chodesh was. Is it on the 30th or is it on the 31st? And Shekilkulu Akutim. Once the Akutim got involved and they started to fake it because they wanted to make it that Pesach would fall out on Shabbat, so it would be Mimacharat Shabbat. His kinush yesh shluchim yotzim. Then they used to send out shluchim to get there. Ve'ilu bitlu kutim abdinen chad yoma. But if the kutim had not been there, we would have gone back to doing 1 day. Ve'echid dematu shluchim. And wherever the shluchim got to, abdinen chad yoma. So you clearly see that it's an informational issue, not a takanat chachamim. Wherever they got the information, they kept 1 day. Where they didn't get the information, it was 2 days. So it's clearly about a safek. So Gemara says, so now what are you going to do? Rabbi Zera makes a good point. Today, where we know for sure which day is Yom Tov, then why do we keep 2 days? We should keep 1 day based on your position. So Gemara says, Mishum deshalchu mitam, they sent from over there, he's harub minhag avotechem v'yedechem. So he says that you should keep the minhag of your forefathers to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Zimnin gazra machut gzera v'ate lekukule. Because there will be times where there'll be pressure put on by through the gzera tamachut, which will cause a forgetting of how to be koveya, set up Rosh Chodesh, they'll lose connection to Torah, and then they won't know how to do things, and they're back to the original safek, and they won't know that when you're in a safek, you have to keep 2 days. A separate issue, that's Gemar Mesachim, not relevant here, about when you change locations, and how bound are you to the original locations versus how bound are you to the new place. That's right. That's based on the Gemara Makom Shenagu in Psachim. That's exactly the Perek. It has to do with where you derive from. When are you considered to be a resident of the new location versus a resident of the old location? And the Gemara is clear that you keep the Chumrot of both places. So that's the question with when you come to Eretz Yisrael. That's a separate question. Nothing to do with this. You're right. You have the information in Eretz Yisrael. And technically, you should keep 1 day. But because you have to keep Chumrei HaMakom Sheyotza Misham and you're still considered to be a resident of Chutz La'aretz, therefore you have to keep the Chumrot of Chutz La'aretz to keep 2 days here. Independent of this issue of knowledge. It's not anything to do with knowledge. Over there it has to do with a separate issue of you're bound by your residency. Your residency makes you take on the chumrah to the place you left as well as the chumrah to the place that you came to. So that's a different question about keeping Shnei Yomim Tovim in Eretz Yisrael. But the important factor here is that in Chutz La'aretz they still keep 2 days. So because there'll be a time when they forget the Torah and therefore not know the Kviya D'Archo, and then they'll be back to this original Safek and they'll need to keep 2 days. Although the Gemara really presents it as two answers, it seems like it says, first of all, keep the minhag of your forefathers. And then they give a reason, which is zimnin. They give another reason, which is, oh, maybe there'll be gzirat malchut. Whether that's a single reason or two reasons, it's not clear in the Gemara. Could be that, why do you keep the minhag? Because of gzirat malchut. Or, keep the minhag of your forefathers. And besides that, it's a good thing to keep the minhag of your forefathers because of the gzirat malchut. You could argue that way. Although, then you would have to explain why it's worthwhile to keep the minhag avotechem independent of the reason of zimnin degazru machut. Why do you keep this minhag? Okay, we're going to stop over here and we'll deal with Rosh Hashanah tomorrow.